Welcome to today's podcast of Nurses for a Healthy Environment. My name is Beth Shank. I'm a registered nurse in Missoula, Montana. And today we're speaking with Barb Sattler, one of the heroes of American environmental health nursing. Welcome, Barb.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Barb.
Well, I too am a nurse. I went to a diploma program quite a long time ago. Those were programs that were hospital-based, not college or university-based initially. And I've made several turns in my nursing career along the way. At one point, I thought I might go to law school to do labor law associated with healthcare and got a bachelor's degree in political science. And then instead of law, I did a master's in public health and fell in love with population-based health. I had done critical care for about 11 years, ICU, CCU, burn unit, that kind of thing. But since I turned the switch on public health, I've not gone back. And so my career in public health has been both with non-governmental organizations. I worked for the United Steelworkers for several years and did some occupational health. And I've been in academics for about 30 years now. I'm a professor at the University of San Francisco. I did spend 25 years at the University of Maryland, however. But that's my CV in like maybe a minute and a half.
Great. And so you worked in public health, and was it immediately clear to you that environment was a key contributor to health, or how did you start to get involved with environmental issues?
I started you should know that I helped to organize one of the first Earth Day in 1970. So I've been concerned about the environment and health for a really long time. And in fact, in high school, we had an environment club, and we were very concerned about the emissions coming from a cement plant that was near our home. So so that interest has been longstanding. But as a nurse, my engagement in environmental health really came through occupational health. So when I worked for the Steelworkers Union, we didn't just have steel mills. We also had chemical plants. We had pesticide manufacturing plants. And so I really saw the ravages that chemical exposures could have on people. And as I moved through occupational health, I was working on lead-poisoned workers, and then that morphed to concern about their whole families and then whole communities where there were sources beyond occupational sources of lead. And that, you know, one thing led to another. Then we were looking at healthy homes more globally, and then healthy communities, and looking at brownfields and Superfund sites, which are community-based sites where there's very contaminated soil. So In my own organic way, I seem to be moving forward through environmental health. But I don't think there was, for me, a plan ahead of time to get me to where I am. I think once you start working on population-based health and once you start working on environmental health, it takes you to lots of different interesting paths.
Was nursing always a core contributor to your thinking? And what are your thoughts right now just on the relevance of environmental health for nursing?
Well, my daughter is an engineer, and the way that engineers are taught to problem solve is incredibly important. But I have to say that the way that nurses learn to do assessment and then planning and implementation and evaluation has totally held me in good stead through all the work that I've done in occupational and then environmental health. I think that nurses learn a sequence of activities. We're evidence-based. We use our observation skills. I'd like to think that I'm first and foremost a nurse, and then any other of these things that have been, you know, layered on after that. And I think it's a very important jumping off point for any nurse, regardless of whether they're associate's degree prepared or PhD prepared, to use that, you know, that sort of sequence of activities.
So you mentioned that right now you're a professor, and tell us a bit about how environmental health is present in your current role. In what way does environmental health touch your work today?
Well, I have been extraordinarily privilege to be able to, both at the University of Maryland and at the University of San Francisco now, to pretty much focus my career on environmental health. So what I'm doing now is working with the nursing students, mostly the graduate nursing students, and also working with Masters of Public Health students, and teaching environmental health. I also teach a basic course, and then work with individual students on more in-depth projects. And I also teach now a course on the public health implications of agriculture and food, which has given me an opportunity to look at, you know, how we grow our food, where we grow our food, the sort of modern agriculture and all of its pluses and several of its minuses from a public health perspective. And I've been working a fair bit on climate change in the past couple of years, and also had the privilege of doing some disaster relief. And so I've begun to teach climate change, but also through a lens of disaster preparation and disaster response, which really helps people to understand what their roles might be and why it's so important to really think about mitigation as a sort of primary prevention. So I hope I answered that question a bit.
Yeah, thank you. Regarding the Alliance of Nurses for a Healthy Environment, you were one of the founding members. Tell us a little bit about that and what your role is currently in the Alliance.
Sure. Well, I would say if we go back 25, 30 years ago, there were a handful of nurses, and I can almost name them all, around the country who were doing a deep dive into environmental health. It was very few of us, and I think we were all feeling a little bit like we were lone wolves. And so we pulled together a meeting for us to begin to talk about how we were sort of applying environmental health in our nursing careers and what might not just help us individually, but what would help us to actually forward the integration of environmental health into nursing education, into practice research, and into our policy and advocacy work. And we brought together a group of nursing leaders from around the country and spent a few days together hashing out how we might do this, and decided that the most important thing we could do would be create an organization that would help us better coordinate and communicate our activities. And that's how the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments was established. And it's really been an amazing tool for just those reasons. It's helped to both gather nurses, but also support those nurses who still may feel like they're a bit of a lone wolf at a university or in a part of a state where there are not a lot of colleagues immediately in their surroundings. So I would say that we've certainly done a lot of really good work in the work groups, but key for me is having a place where nurses can find other like-minded nurses to support them.
Say you have a broad perspective on all the issues related to environment and health and population health and community health. What is your biggest concern right now in the intersection of environment and health?
Well, I think the politicization of science is getting us into horrible trouble. And it's certainly getting us into trouble with climate change. But it is equally getting us into trouble with the work that we've been doing on trying to create more protective chemical policies, policies that'll protect our air and our water and our drinking water. And I think that that's what most concerns me right now, is that we have, in this country, we've politicized it as though it were something that, you can have opinions about rather than be evidence-based in. And so that's a huge concern. Obviously, that climate change is frightening to me. But I think that we also are faced with, you know, a number of other things right now because of the political climate.
Do you have any ideas or ways that you think citizens could help mitigate that?
I do. And there are two different things, two different ways I would answer that. One is that I think that we need to get to know our neighbors again. I think we need to build resilience that we've lost by losing a sense of who we are as members of a community. And so rebuilding that is going to help us, I think, to feel more hopeful about how we do anything and everything. I, with my students, really try to do exercises that help them to understand that they're not alone. So it's not just about helping them understand, you know, who's in charge of what agency and what regulations there are, but really help them to understand that they have a real purpose in this world and that they need to understand what that is and recognize the importance of working on purpose and working within a community and working with other people. And that's just really, truly important to me in the work that I do in academics, that it's not just imparting a whole bunch of facts, but it's really trying to inspire people to feel like they can walk into their biggest selves. And those big selves, when they march together, will be a very hopeful sight.
I'm thinking a little bit about the spectrum of action, from personal action that people can take in their homes and lives, to activism, to civil disobedience, to advocacy with our elected officials, to talking with patients and families, etc. Is it an all of the above sort of strategy that we need to take, or do you value particular actions that you could talk about?
Well, what I have come to ask of my students, and if I do workshops, to ask of the attendees, is to consider how they might begin to work in their area of discomfort. So if they haven't made changes in their home, now it's time to do that. If they've made changes in their home, now it's time for them to step out and help develop resiliency within their communities, or play a role within their workplace. If they've played a role in their workplace, well, how about taking more leadership in their workplace? If they've got that down, well, maybe it's time for them to go to their state house or meet with their local legislators, or even more locally with their city council members or supervisors. But wherever they are now, I ask them to step forward into the next level of discomfort. And what they'll find, I think, is that it's a very rewarding place to be, and that that's where every one of us needs to begin to move towards, because we need to be going, what is that expression? We need to be going farther together, something of that sort.
Yeah, and that brings us back to the nursing obligation, really, to be advocates for those who can't speak for themselves and to help to build healthy communities.
That's right. That's right. There's a wonderful nurse here who's at the University of California in San Francisco who's been playing a role just in her neighborhood with a program called Cool Blocks. And in the context of literally knocking on doors, she's met neighbors who she had never met before. She's building, they're building efforts to reduce their waste, to be more energy efficient. But they also now know each other, and that's invaluable. And I think nurses can be doing this within our hospitals, if we're school nurses within our schools. And then we can also take it to our sort of civic engagement in our faith-based organizations in other venues. So I think that nurses can play roles in their civic engagement as well as they can professionally in their workplaces.
Terrific. And that reminds me that nurses for 15 years running have been the most trusted profession, and that voice carries some weight in no matter which venue that you spoke of.
It's true. And I think one other thing I would say to nurses is that sometimes when asked to, you know, give testimony or come and lend a statement here or there, they often feel like they have to be experts at all the content that's involved. And the truth of the matter is they just need to bring themselves as nurses, because as nurses, we'll ask the right questions. We're not going to overstep our area of expertise. We're not going to speak where there's not evidence, you know, an evidence base to what we're talking about. So I really think that one of the reasons that we're the most trusted professionals is because of all that, because we don't, you know, we don't come in making exaggerated statements. We end because we are constantly reminding people that what is really important is human health. And now what is really important is human health and ecological health.
Thinking of your, you've talked a lot about nursing and your work, and I just wonder what you might say to the non-nurses, so to your community or our nation or the world, if you could deliver a message or two about the importance of environment and health or your concerns, what would you say?
I think what I would say is that, you know, we have a lot of images that are presented to us right now through TV and, you know, various social media about how horrendous things are. You know, we see these images of the calving of the glaciers in Greenland and so forth. And we can easily be both paralyzed by that, or we could think, wait, it's way out there. It's not really about us. There's nothing I can do that would make a difference. And I think what I'd like to say to folks is everything right now is making a difference. You can choose to have nothing make a difference, or you could choose to have something make a difference. And I think it's time for us all to be doing something.
Now back to nurses. How would you invite nurses to get involved in some of these?
Well, certainly Annie is one of the places for people to get involved. And we are very welcoming to people who would like to join our calls. I'd also like to suggest that if you're a new person joining a call, and we have calls, each of our work groups have calls, so the education, practice, research, and policy and advocacy work groups have calls, but also there are calls around climate change, and sometimes we have other ad hoc groups that talk about topics. And I would really encourage people, if they are on the call, to maybe also make an appointment to talk to the chairperson, one of the co-chairs on that call, just separately, so that they could get a little booster rocket in their involvement. So that we could learn who they are and what their interests are, and I think coach them in the best way for them to get the best out of the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments.
Well, it's been wonderful to talk with you, Barb. Is there anything else you'd like to add today?
Just that nurses rock.
Couldn't agree more.
Thank you so much, Beth, for this opportunity.
Yes, and thank you, the wonderful Barb Sattler.
Thank you for listening to the Nurses for Healthy Environments podcast. Check us out at environ.org, and please leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts on iTunes. Talk to you next time.